Woody Allen.
Show me the one we sleep on.
This.
And show me the one you play with.
This.
Mm-hmm. And show me the one that pulls a train.
This.
And which? What is this?
A dog.
All right.
Voices of Vista. Woody Allen and the John Kakavas Orchestra and Chorus. These are the voices of VISTA, volunteers in service to America. All over America, in slums, migrant worker camps, Indian reservations, wherever poverty is, that's where VISTA volunteers go.
Someone who's young and someone who's old, hands that are willing and hearts that are bold.
I'm Willis Conover. Now, meet our guest. On stage, Woody Allen.
Thank you. This is my third night here. I haven't been here in about 8 months now, was the last time I was here. And since I was here last, a lot of significant things have occurred in my private life that I thought we could go over tonight and evaluate. Start right at the very beginning. I formerly lived in Manhattan, uptown east in a brownstone building, but I was constantly getting mugged and assaulted, and so I moved into a doorman apartment house on Park Avenue that's rich and secure and expensive and great, and I lived there for 2 weeks, and my doorman attacked me. When I was a kid, I was ashamed of having red hair, because I lived in a tough section. There were tough kids in my class. There was a kid in my class named Floyd. The black leather jacket, and the boots, and zipper, and acne and everything. You know? Floyd used to sit in the dumb row in school, you know? Vegetable mentality, you know? I made friends with him years later when we got older. I removed a thorn from his paw, you know? Once I was on my way for my violin lesson when I was a kid. You know? I was one of those kids who took. And I'm walking past the pool room, and Floyd and all his friends are out, you know? And he yells out to me, "Hey, Red." I was a cocky kid. Put down my violin. I go up to him. I said, "My name is not Red. If you want me, call me by my regular name. It's Master Haywood Allen." I spent that winter in a wheelchair.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? A life of poverty isn't the American dream. Liberty doesn't mean much if you're trapped inside the prison of poverty. And the pursuit of happiness is a frustrating struggle if you are inside that prison. But it's one thing to curse the darkness, and quite another thing to light a candle. All across this country, people are lighting candles by doing something about poverty. They are VISTA volunteers, living with America's poor and helping them find the way out. It isn't easy, and you don't make a lot of money doing it. But you do get the satisfaction of knowing that something important is happening in our own time, and that you are part of it. Want to know more? Write to VISTA, Washington, D.C. V-I-S-T-A, Washington, D.C. Woody Allen, backstage. Let's try some sit-down comedy now. What was your first laugh?
Oh, I have no idea. I can't think back that far. I got laughs when I was very young, and I can't really remember what it was that I said, but it was probably very biting. I mean, I was a sarcastic infant.
And how did you happen to get caught into the job of writing comedy for other people?
I had nothing to do when I was going to high school, and you had to decide what you wanted to be. And I thought I'd take a shot at writing jokes, because I was always getting laughs when I'd go to the movie house and yell something out at the tense moment in the Joan Crawford picture. And I wrote jokes and sold them.
You just wrote them and sent them out to...
That's right.
Oh, that's
exactly
it.
That.
Were they published in papers?
Yes, I got published a great deal, but the air jokes weren't. I mean, the jokes that I wrote for radio were not published. Although there were some that, you know, I wrote special jokes for publication. It's a different type of joke that you write for the printed page than to be delivered to an audience.
And who were some of the comics who benefited from your writing ability?
Well, I can tell you who I wrote for. Sid Caesar, Art Carney. I wrote the Gary Moore Show. I wrote shows for Max Liebman and Pat Boone Show and The Tonight Show.
Is there any particular reason why...
Herb Shriner.
Oh, excuse me.
No, that's all right. Go ahead.
Is there any reason that so much seems to happen down here in the village first?
Yes, because it's lively and everything is together. You see, there's a neighborhood down here. If you go uptown to a nightclub in New York, you get one nightclub and there's nothing doing around it, and it's very expensive and probably moribund. But down here in the village, you can come down and within an area of about three or four blocks, there's about 15 places you can go to, and all of them about $2 a piece. And you can see, new acts, the same acts that you will be seeing in some years for $30 a couple, you know, at an uptown club.
What was your first club in this area?
The very first one in my entire life was the Duplex in this area, but the first one that really meant anything was the Bitter End. No question about it.
Do you have any more difficulty or less difficulty in separating the phonies from the real people in the village than uptown or elsewhere? Midtown, that is.
You'd be amazed how little time I devote to that. It doesn't matter to me. I have a blanket appraisal of everybody, so it doesn't matter.
Blanket appraisal, does it come out in one sentence?
No, I mean, I don't care if they're phony or real, you know. Only the ones that I let into my house do I care about. But the rest, couldn't matter less.
Now, back on stage, Woody Allen.
When I was a little boy, I wanted a dog desperately. And we had no money. I was a tiny kid. And my parents couldn't get me a dog because we just didn't have the money. So they got me, instead of a dog, they told me it was a dog. They got me an ant. And I didn't know any better, you know. I thought it was a dog. I was a dumb kid. I called it Spot. I trained it, you know. I'm coming home late one night, and Sheldon Finkelstein tried to bully me. Spot was with me. And I said, kill! And Sheldon stepped on my dog. I wanted to flash this watch. I flash it all the time. It's my antique pocket watch, and it makes me look British. And I need that for my analysis. It is a gorgeous gold pocket watch, however. I am proud of it. And obviously, my grandfather, on his deathbed, sold me this watch. I shot a moose once. I was hunting upstate New York, and I shot a moose. And I strap him onto the fender of my car. And I'm driving home along the West Side Highway. But what I didn't realize was that the bullet did not penetrate the moose. It just creased his scalp, knocking him unconscious. And I'm driving through the Holland Tunnel, and the moose woke up. So I'm driving with a live moose on my fender. And the moose is signaling for a turn, you know? And there's a law in New York State against driving with a conscious moose on your fender Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturday. And I'm very panicky. And then it hits me. Some friends of mine are having a costume party. I'll go. I'll take the moose. I'll ditch him at the party. It wouldn't be my responsibility. So I drive up to the party, and I knock on the door. The moose is next to me. My host comes to the door. I say, hello. You know the Solomons. We enter. The moose mingles. Some guy was trying to sell him insurance for an hour and a half. 12 o'clock comes. They give out prizes for the best costume of the night. First prize goes to the Berkowitzes, a married couple dressed as a moose. The moose comes in second. The moose is furious. He and the Berkowitzes lock antlers in the living room. They knock each other unconscious. Now I figure here's my chance. I grab the moose, strap him to my fender, and shoot back to the woods. But I got the Berkowitzes. So I'm driving along with two Jewish people on my fender. There's a law in New York State. Tuesdays, Thursdays, and especially Saturday. The following morning, the Berkowitzes wake up in the woods in a moose suit. Mr. Berkowitz is shot, stuffed, and mounted at the New York Athletic Club. And the joke is on them because it's restricted.
Vista has many faces, many voices. The happy faces of children when someone has taught them a song. The solemn face of a youngster who's making up for lost time, learning words for things and what the things are for. And the kindly face of a Vista volunteer who happens to be in her 80s.
What is that?
Kiss.
Nothing. You'll have been.
Train.
This?
A block.
All right. And now, watch out. Now tell me what this is.
Fork.
And let me see. What's that?
A flag.
Yeah. Well, that's very good.
And there are the hopeful faces of those who never before had a chance to learn, who know so little about the world, about themselves.
Now, how old are you?
I don't know how old I am.
You don't know how old you are? Do you know when you were born?
No, I don't know when I'm born.
All right. Do you work anywhere?
Yes, I work some.
What kind of work do you do?
Working for the field.
Farm work?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You want to take reading, don't you?
No, ma'am, it isn't necessary. Have you always lived in Dover?
And I just work on. Your mail comes to you.
Now, did you go to school at all?
Ain't never been in my life.
You never went to school. Now, why didn't you go to school?
Couldn't go.
Why?
No, no school.
There was no school for you?
When I come home. Mm-hmm.
In so many places, in so many different ways, the voice of Vista is the voice of hope. Now, the John Kakavas Orchestra and Chorus.
Rachel, my own.
The first time that I saw my love, she was dressed in a gingham gown.
Vista, Volunteers in Service to America, has been called the Domestic Peace Corps. That's a pretty good description. It's people giving of themselves right here in the United States, living and working in the front lines of the war on poverty. Could you be a Vista volunteer? Chances are you could. You don't have to be a teacher, a social worker, or a PhD. All kinds of abilities are needed. If you can cook or sew, if you're active in sports or in community or school activities, if you find excitement in books, you are needed in Vista. Young people of 18 are serving right now, and retired people too. There are married couples serving together, all of them spending a year helping their fellow Americans. The pay? Just enough to get by on, plus $50 a month saved for you by the government. The rest of the pay isn't in money. It's in yourself. Want to know more? Write to Vista, Washington, D.C. A voice for Vista, Woody Allen.
I was kidnapped once. I was standing in front of my schoolyard, and a black sedan pulls up. And two guys get out, and they say to me, do I want to go away with them to a land where everybody is fairies and elves? And I could have all the comic books I want, and chocolate, and wax lips, you know. And I said yes, you know. And I got into the car with them.
I
was home that weekend from college anyhow, you know. They drive me off, and they send a ransom note to my parents. And my father has bad reading habits. So he gets into bed at night with the ransom note. And he read half of it, you know. And he got drowsy and fell asleep. Then he lent it out, you know. Meanwhile, they take me to New Jersey, bound and gagged. And my parents finally realize that I'm kidnapped. And they snap into action immediately. They rent out my room. The ransom note says for my father to leave $1,000 in a hollow tree in New Jersey. He has no trouble raising $1,000, but he gets a hernia carrying the hollow tree. The FBI surround the house. Throw the kid out, they say. Give us your guns and come out with your hands up. The kidnappers say, we'll throw the kid out, but let us keep our guns and get to our car. The FBI says, throw the kid out. We'll let you get to your car, but give us your guns. The kidnappers say, we'll throw the kid out, and let us keep our guns. We don't have to get to our car. The FBI says, keep the kid.
Woody Allen. Thank you, Woody.
Thank you, Willis. It's a pleasure to help Vista in any way.
Someone who's willing, someone to care, someone who's needed and glad to be there. Someone to give of himself for a year, a Vista volunteer.
Voices of Vista, produced by Arch Lustberg and written by Charles Wood for the Office of Economic Opportunity. Now for Woody Allen, the John Kakavas Orchestra and Chorus, and Willis Conover. Goodbye.
Someone who's young and someone who's old, hands that are willing.